Hello, everyone. Before we start with today's episode, I wanted to put out there that this is the time of year when we remind you about how you can support this podcast by becoming a member of The Incomparable. You can sign up for a monthly or an annual pledge to support this podcast directly. Here's what you do. Go to theincomparable.com/members and sign up. You'll then be asked to pick the shows on the network you'd like to support. If you just check the box for friends in your ears, your entire contribution will come directly to me after a few fees are taken out. If you listen to other podcasts on the Incomparable Network, you can also check their boxes and your contribution will be shared equally by all the shows you want to support. As a thank you for supporting us, members receive so many extras. There's exclusive bonus audio, a bootleg podcast where you can hear episodes of shows right after they've recorded without having to wait for the edited version to arrive. I love doing this specifically with the game show episodes. Low Definition is my all-time favorite to listen to the bootleg. It's amazing. And there's also a members-only community on Slack where you can talk directly to hosts, as well as other major fans of the network. Since this is pledge season, many of the shows on the network will also be posting bonus episodes just for the members. For friends in your ears, I don't have a special episode coming out, but as a member, you can go back and listen to the pilot episode where I talked to Brian Hamilton and Allison Truge about their favorite podcasts. It was a very great way to get into the show and make sure that this was all going to work out. There are contribution levels at $5, $10, and $20 per month, and annual equivalents are available as well. And if you're already a member, it's easy to increase your pledge to a higher level, get some extra special goodies in return. So if you'd like to support us, go to theincomparable.com/members to sign up. Thanks, and on with the show! Hello and welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy Campbell interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I'm joined today by two absolutely fantastic guests. I have Dan Morin and Stephen Hackett. Hi, guys.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Hey, I was told I have to go after Dan because alphabetically he's after me.
That is,
I'm after him.
Yes, you are after him because
the tyranny of the alphabet.
A, B, C, D comes before S. Yeah. And now that everyone has had their alphabetical lesson for the day, Dan, would you like to introduce yourself and let us know where they can find you on the interwebs?
Sure. I'm Dan Morin. I am the host of many podcasts, including Clockwise, which is on some network called Relay FM. Stephen probably hasn't heard of it. As well as a frequent panelist on The Incomparable and several of the spinoff shows over there, including Total Party Kill. I also co-host the tech podcast, The Rebound. I host the nerdy game show, Inconceivable. And in addition to all those silly podcasting things, I also am a tech writer. I write over at sixcolors.com as well as some other places, including Macworld. And I'm a science fiction novelist. My first novel, The Caledonian Gambit, came out last May from Talos and is available at fine booksellers everywhere. And you can find me on Twitter at dmorin. Or at my website, dmorin.com, or pretty much any place as dmorin.
Perfect. And what about you, Stephen?
Yeah, so I'm the co-founder of the Relay FM podcast network. Because Mike is alphabetically before Stephen, he beat me to the show. he's my co-founder. On Relay, I host six shows now, Connected, Liftoff, Query, Subnet, and Ungeniused, along with a couple of secret member shows I'm not going to name because you should become a member and then you can know their names. So I do that and technology writer like Dan. My blog is 512 Pixels. I've written that for 10 years this year, which is crazy making.
Wow.
That has been that long. And so yeah, that's what I do. Dan and I have very similar occupations, except
that's true.
I'm not able to write a novel. I can barely get a tweet out some days.
There's always time, Stephen. There's always time.
I believe in you, Stephen. You could make something up about, you know, vintage Macs and them taking over the world.
Yeah. Everyone wants to read John Scully fanfic.
I'm more of a Gil-Emilio guy, but you know.
Oh, man, that, whew, it's getting not safe for work now.
Make sure to tweet Stephen your desire for those fanfics. because he definitely needs to hear that. All right, so we're going to start at the very beginning of the history lesson. Dan, how did you start listening to podcasts?
Oh, man. You know, I was sort of casting back in advance of thinking about this and trying to remember what the first podcasts I listened to were. And if I had to guess, and I do because I don't remember because it was a long time ago, I would guess the first show that I really listened to was probably MacBreak Weekly, which... Is it still running? Is it still running? I'm not sure. So it's part of Twit, and Twit is obviously still around. I think MacBreak
I think it is
still running. Okay.
I think so.
But I was listening in the early days, and I think that's how I came across our friend Merlin Mann. And I used to listen pretty regularly to that show because, obviously, in my line of work, doing Apple-related technology journalism, it was sort of one of the earliest, I think, sort of Mac-related news shows. And, you know, I think I was really excited by that by the time because it was kind of like listening to radio shows, which I've always been a big radio fan for, you know, various types of radio shows, mostly like humor-related shows like, you know, NPR, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. There's a show called Says You that I really like. And so I'd sort of made the jump thinking, here's a way for me to consume a show that is actually about something that I know about and I'm interested in, but is never going to exist on actual radio. And this was all probably circa, you know, the mid-2000s, I would guess, mid to like 2005, 2006 area, maybe a little later than that. Which is also when I was starting my career as a tech journalist. So for me, it was a way to engage even further into that whole community and that whole lifestyle. But beyond that, it was probably like a lot of stuff that was, you know, converted from radio into podcasts, you know, such as the NPR shows in the early days and things like that. I was sort of casting my mind back to see if I could remember any other shows from that dawn of podcast history, but... honestly, I told Kathy this before I started, you know, agreed to come on the show, which is my dirty secret is I don't listen to a lot of podcasts because I spend so much time making them that I don't have time to actually listen to podcasts. So it's basically like long car trips for me are like the only time I ever get to actually listen to a podcast. So my library of like podcasts that I listen to is actually fairly small.
Well, now your secret is out in the open, and hopefully,
I know.
Hopefully, everyone will be kind and continue to listen.
I love
to your
all
podcast.
Your podcasts. please don't stop making them, Mike.
All right, Stephen, what about you? How did you get started listening?
My story is basically the same as Dan's. The first show I listened to on a regular basis was MacBreak Weekly. We used to listen to it. I worked at an Apple service provider. We used to have it on. When they were live and listened to it at work and, you know, have it on there. And that was really the only show I listened to for a really long time. And then probably like 2010, 2011, sort of those, like that heyday of the 5x5 network, listening to things like Back to Work and Hypercritical and Build and Analyze that had Marco Arment on it. That was really when I sort of branched out and started listening to more than just one or two shows. And that's really when I had a podcast client on my phone using Instacast, rest in peace, and really keeping up with the multiple shows. So for me, it was MacBreak Weekly, but that was all it was for a pretty long time.
It seems to be very common. Most of the people that I talk to, they have something that pulls them into why they started listening to podcasts, and it tends to be either inspired by what they want to do with their career or something that they do end up doing for their career. And then as soon as they get in that career, they stop listening or they branch out. They're like, okay, I can take more information into my brain now. So let's step away or at least slow down or find something else to do, which is really interesting. Something that I've discovered. So Dan, we know that you have a lot of podcasts that you are making. What was the first one you made, and what made you actually want to start recording podcasts of your own?
So, funny enough, I think it was almost around about 10 years ago, I had been listening to podcasts, and I had always enjoyed mucking about with media software. So I spent some time when I was in college making little videos and editing stuff together on, you know, my old blue and white Power Mac G3. And so I always had sort of a streak for that, but I'd never really tried much at my hand at audio editing. But then, you know, started listening to some podcasts and thought, oh, this is pretty cool. And I thought, you know, I have some friends who I love, like, just sitting around and shooting the breeze with and like joking, you know, joking, making funny jokes, quote unquote. and I thought, well, you know, this podcasting thing doesn't sound so hard. I'm sure I can put something together, especially because Apple made GarageBand so widely available. So it shouldn't be too hard.
Right.
So I sort of called up one of my childhood friends who lived about an hour and a half away from me at the time and said to him, hey, Tony Sindelar, you want to do a podcast? and he said, about like, what the hell are we going to do a podcast about? At the time, he and I and a couple other friends had maintained a blog called Doombot, which was just sort of a blog that we had put together to just have some sort of like creative project ongoing. It wasn't really something we devoted a lot of time to. It wasn't something that we was really rigorous or anything, but it was just like a place for us to write stuff and put collect funny links and stuff like that. And so I was like, oh, well, we could do a podcast for Doombot. So we started a podcast called The Doomcast, which ran for, I believe, 11 episodes. And it was a very bizarre show where essentially he and I would get on a Skype call. We would talk for sometimes, you know, an hour and a half. And then I would go into it and I would trim all these files down and come up with like several 20 minute episodes out of that.
Oh, wow.
And they would be very bizarre, like totally just improv, like random discussions of weird things that we were interested in, but also with almost an element of like improv to it, where somebody, you know, we'd start talking about a topic and then we'd just try to like spin that topic into like the most bizarre thing, like, you know, weird business ideas or strange thing. I mean, the first episode is like a largely about cryptozoological animals, which is one of Tony's particular subject areas. But we just sort of like everything from that to his dad being in like a band when he was younger and all sorts of bizarre things. And in the end, I'm not sure that many people listen to it. In fact, I know most people didn't listen to it. There was a very small but devoted following, including one of our friends who was in grad school at the time and was just so delighted because he felt like he was far away from his friends and it was a way for him to keep up with us.
Yeah.
To the point where in one of the last episodes of the show, we were on Skype, and as a segment in the middle of the show, we decided to essentially just call his phone via Skype and have him on the podcast. So
surprise.
He had no idea that was gonna happen, and he was really weirded out by it, but then he got into the swing of it, ended up being pretty good. So he and I recorded that show for, it was probably like over the course of, you know, 6 or 7 months, we, you know, put out a bunch of episodes roughly once a week, and it was fun, but when we just sort of like, you know, kind of tailed off, it was just not something we had a lot of time to devote. And back in 2008, it was not something that we figured out how to make any money off of. So it ended up just being sort of a little wacky project. I've threatened to occasionally remaster it all and re-release it because I don't think you can find most of it online without, you can poke around, you can probably find some of the episodes out there. And it used heavy usage of the GarageBand like Apple little sound effects in there.
Nice.
Which is to say, every few minutes in between little segments, you'd have a weird punctuating stinger that would just go like, dung! And then it would move on to something possibly totally unrelated to what we were just talking about. So that was a lot of fun. I feel like I learned a lot from that, but I also feel like I have learned a ton since then. So I'm glad that it sort of started me down that path, even though I took you know, several years break after that before I was really doing podcasts regularly again. But yeah, that's kind of how I started out there.
That's amazing. So what you're saying is, if we want some really good dirt on both you and Tony, we should like find those.
I should probably go delete all those, huh?
Well, go ahead and wait a little bit, because I'm gonna do my Google foo and see what I can find and link for our audience.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, Steven, what about you?
So I recorded my first show actually with Mike Hurley. Before then, I had done a few little things here and there, but the first kind of show that I was just being interviewed on because of the blog But a show with Mike. It was around the time the iPad came out, and he had a tech show, and we, you know, kind of talked about the iPad for a little bit, but we really hit it off really well. And we kind of wanted to do something together. At the time, we didn't want to do a tech show, and so we decided on a show that would pick weird stuff on Wikipedia and talk about it a couple times a month. The show was called Ungeniused, and we basically picked weird Wikipedia articles and talked about them. The problem is that show was really bad because the format was wrong. We basically applied like the panel discussion format that we use on so many Relay shows to that topic area, and it just didn't work. And so we, after a little while, kind of wound down the show and ended up you know, kind of scrubbing it from the internet. Not unlike Dan's first project. It's really the only thing I've ever done that to, honestly, because it was just really bad. But we believed in the idea, and now at relay.fm/ingenious, you can see that we're doing it again, but now the show is scripted. I write, you know, an 8-page script every 2 weeks, and then we perform that script and release that as a performance. And so all the ums and ahs are edited out and everything. Anyways, to actually answer the question, as soon as I started doing it, I was just really excited by the format. I'd already been blogging for a couple of years, and you know, got a journalism degree, went to school to write. But there was something about podcasting that is like fundamentally different, and it's the simple fact that it's more than one person having a conversation. You know, even the best blog post is from a single point of view. And there's a place for that, and I still love that, and I will write that blog until I can't. But there's something about a conversation that is far more engaging and interesting. And I just really fell in love with the idea, you know, that I could talk to a friend once a week or, you know, a couple times a month, and we have a conversation about something we care about, and that people would be drawn to it and would enjoy it. And I really like that. I liked exploring it, and it's still what I'm exploring today. You know, 8 years later, almost 9 years later, the idea of, you know, covering news or tech, but through the lens of a relationship. You know, a show like Connected, you know, Federico and Mike and I have done that show for many, many years. It actually predates Relay, and it, you know, it is what it is, because people want to hear what we have to say about Apple, but people also want to hear, you know, the three of us. And the show works because we have a relationship between us. And, you know, generally Federico and I kind of stand across this great, you know, debate table from each other and pound our fists, and Mike is somewhere in the middle. And, you know, we play that up sometimes, but it's the relationship is what keeps people coming back, because they want to see how we're going to respond to the news or whatever it is, whatever the story of the day is. And I think that's pretty cool. I think it's something that podcasting has that's pretty unique to podcasting because of the format.
I agree completely. There's something so, I mean, you'll find a podcast because of the topic or the subject matter, but you tend to stay because of the people that are actually doing it, whether or
right,
not.
There's like a personal connection that you forge there. And I think Steven's totally right. I mean, I think about the fact that, you know, I do the Rebound, a tech show with my friends, John Moltz and Lex Friedman. I think our experience is very similar to Steven's in that, you know, maybe there's content that's very similar in terms of all these different shows that talk about Apple, but people, for whatever reason, want to hear us talk about something in particular. So they're going to keep tuning in.
Yeah, people identify with voices, or it might be a voice that is contrary to their own beliefs, but they like the person behind it or are interested in finding that other thought process. And that's what I love about podcasts, is how intimate it is and how personable, and how you really do get to really identify with the people that are talking in your ears. And it makes me really happy. So now the big question, Dan, even though you don't listen to very many, do you have a favorite podcast, and why is it your favorite?
Do I have a favorite podcast? I mean, of ones that are currently running, and I feel like this is like asking somebody what their favorite book or movie potentially is, because some people have a very good like handle on what that is, and some people, you know, it changes. It changes from week to week, or, you know, year to year, what have you. Currently, the show that I listen to and enjoy the most is a improv RPG show called Dragon Friends, which is based in Australia. And I think one of the reasons I really enjoy listening to it is not only is it very, very funny because it's basically a bunch of comedians and professional entertainers playing who've never played Dungeons & Dragons before playing Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, wow.
And they're Australian, which is delightful. But it's a show that my girlfriend has really gotten into. And so it's a show that we often listen to together in the aforementioned long car rides. So for me, it's not just about like enjoying a thing in a vacuum, but like getting to share in that with someone else. So that's a lot of fun. And I really enjoy that show. It's got a great storyline that sort of comes up with it. And it's just, it's ridiculous and hilarious. And it makes me, relax. It's more relaxing than listening to a lot of tech shows because I love listening to tech shows when I get a chance. But it also, that's like work, right? Like that's in the work realm. And so being able to unplug and listen to something that's purely for enjoyment is kind of a luxury. And so I really enjoy getting that part of out of it. But there are definitely some other shows out there I've really enjoyed. I really tended to like more recently like short run shows where it's like we're doing like 8 episodes in a season and that's it. Like rather than keeping up with a show every week can get exhausting. And especially when I feel like, oh, no, I've allowed this huge backlog to accrue. So having a show that's a little more infrequent is kind of, again, just it takes some of the pressure off.
Yeah, especially if it's not too topical. So you can
really
listen to it whenever you get to it.
I can binge.
Yes. All right, Stephen. I know you're very busy as well. Do you have a favorite podcast?
I do. And I listen to a fair number of shows still. I had to whittle it down a little bit when I lost my commute. But I listen to shows a lot around the house or doing yard work or while exercising. So I still listen to quite a few. And I thought about this question a lot. I, like Dan, sometimes struggle to listen to a lot of tech podcasts. I listen to a lot of tech shows, but some weeks it's a little overwhelming because it just feels like a lot of work. So they're whole weeks that I'm just like, I can't handle any more tech stuff.
Right.
Like I just bailed on a bunch of Apple education event podcasts. That's recent news right now. And I don't care about that iPad anymore. I just can't listen.
Yeah.
So the show that came to mind is one that I've actually listened to for a really long time, back when I was really kind of discovering podcasts for the very first time. And it's a show called Stuff You Should Know. It's very well known. It's consistently at the top of Apple podcast charts. And I like it for two reasons. One, so it's two guys. They've done it for a decade, and they explain different topics. So it's not unlike Ungenius in the sense that you're sort of explaining something that people may not be familiar with. But what I love about it is the getting to know about something weird, but the relationship that the two hosts have, because they've done it together for so, so long, there is a real sense of like friendship and warmth that show brings. And that plays into what we were talking about earlier. And I really think it's true that is something that podcasting has that other mediums just don't have, that like sense of connection. And you really feel that with those guys, with Chuck and Josh, who host that show. And it's hugely successful. They've done over 1,000 episodes. They publish twice a week. And it's just, it's not one I listen to every episode of because it's topical. Sometimes they have a topic or a series of something I just don't find interesting. And I know that I can just get back in whenever the next episode comes into Overcast and it's, oh, this looks interesting. I'll listen to this one. So you can kind of come and go as you please, which I like about too. But it's just really, I think, a good example of the content's really good, but also that relationship angle is really strong there.
Yeah, there are a couple guys that I just want to go and hang out with because they're such fun people and they have such a strong connection with each other that like you just want to bask in that enjoyment and that joyfulness of who they are as people. And you also get to learn really cool stuff.
Exactly.
Learning is great.
Learning is so great. So great. All right. So, final question. I know you guys were a little bit nervous, but I believe that you can answer this, okay? All right. So, you are in a high-speed car chase.
Mm-hmm.
What song would you want blaring on the radio as you're zipping away from the cops?
Oh, man. That is a really good question. Oh. I have to have just one?
Well, I mean, you can have, I guess you could have.
It you got Apple on, Music.
You got one of
every song clearly. You want.
Yeah, it depends on how good of a driver you are. Like, so,
oh,
yes.
First of all, I'm an excellent driver.
You can plan a playlist.
We'll say that. Oh, man. I'm just going to go with what I had at the top of my head, maybe because I heard it. It came up on a playlist on my Echo, like an hour ago, and that is Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
Nice.
Oh, that's good.
That's a good answer.
Because that is, I mean, if you're going to drive, first of all, you need something, it's like when you work out, right? Like you want high tempo music.
Yeah.
Because you want to get like into the rhythm. I think same thing. You gotta like, all your senses have to be firing, all your synapses have to be going. You want something that's really just going to like amp you up.
Brilliant answer. All right,
good.
Steven.
The thing that came to mind for me was The Final Countdown. Although I feel like if you're trying to run away from the cops, that's maybe the exact opposite from the song you want to be playing.
It's kind of defeatist, Steven. I mean, I feel I like
you got to believe in yourself if you're going to be in a car chase. You got to believe
yeah.
that.
Well,
you
maybe
can
that's
escape.
The song that the cops are playing. So okay, here's the deal: Dan is escaping from me. He thinks he's going to get away, but I'm playing The Final Countdown. At the end of that song, Dan is mine.
Oh man. Well, my second song was going to be, you know, I was just trying to pick something, thinking of something like totally like ridiculous opposite. So I was thinking like Mandy by Barry Manilow. it's really slow it down there.
Or some Beethoven, some really like hardcore choral music going on.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, you could do choral music, right? You need like O Fortuna, that like apocalyptic
yes.
chant music. Like that could, that's a very different sort of feeling to that car chase.
It feels,
now I really
it
want
does
a car chase
different.
With that. That would be amazing.
Well, we could do a car chase on this podcast, right? I mean, nobody's stopping us.
Well, it's kind of hard to drive to connect the microphones to the car and have them record, and then you got to do all that yeah. editing.
Jason, I don't know. I've seen
Jason
Casey
tried
lists.
It once.
Yeah, we've yeah. done. There has been a history of car casts, and they don't
They're
really turn
good.
Out that great.
It's all I'm
just saying. I've seen Casey Liss's car videos. I feel like that's just one step away from a high speed chase. Frankly,
all right, I'll take it. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for joining me today. I hope you had as much fun as I did. And thank you, audience, for listening to this episode of Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsinyourears.com or on Twitter at friendsinears. You can find Dan at dmorin, and Steven is at ismh, and I am at Mrs. Soup. And I hope you all have an absolutely wonderful day.